Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to be talking about anger today. You know, keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, that God specifically talks to us about anger. And there's so many things going on right now. And if you talk to people, there's one or three things going probably. One is they're not even paying attention. They never even looked, you know. There's people, this is how some people handle this. Is, you know, I don't even watch any news at all. In other words, I don't know anything that's going on.
Right.
Nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And they look at you like, you're thinking like, do I respond to that? Do I just go?
Does that work?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you in about 18 months. Then you have the others that just have a whole bunch of data. If you talk to them, they're just cranking off data. Like, this happened and that happened and this happened, this happened, this happened. You ask them, what do you do about it? And they're like, oh, we don't do anything about it.
Right.
I was sitting at a table with somebody who moves prophetically and is hearing from the Lord, and he was telling me about what we already knew about. You know, this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and this has got to happen, and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, I know. I've talked about it till I'm sick of hearing myself talk about it. I'm a prudent preparation, mm-hmm. being prepared, and we'll talk more about that this week. But I finally looked at him, and I said, listen, let's do something about it. I know, let's do something about it. And you know what? I haven't even heard from him. And there's people that just want to talk about it, but they don't want to do anything about it. And as the church, we have to actually work together in the context of God's plan to be able to do something about it.
That's right.
And then there are those who you've heard, but it's gotten so heavy for you. It's like, I can't hear one more thing. If I hear one more thing, and that is the whole, you know, the methodology of Rules for Radicals that our president taught for 4 years, that Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, that she did her college thesis on, and the book's dedicated to them, the back cover, according to the Chicago Tribune, and the book is dedicated to Lucifer in the front cover. Mm-hmm. Saul Alinsky dedicated it to him. And because he uses those tactics, that you just kind of think, I'm overwhelmed. But that's one of the tactics. One of the tactics is you have to overwhelm the society. You can't just go, hey, I think I want to push my agenda. Mm-hmm. I want to push my values on a nation or remove values. You have to constantly get them so overwhelmed that they just finally say, they just shut down. That actually is a tactic. You can go to VFNTV.com, go to the VFN Torch. It drops down. It has series, and you have children, organizers of the day versus organizers of the night, or you have Saul Alinsky. The same thing, has a series on that, and just listen to that. You're going to understand, Mike, this is what's going on. I mean, think about it. If you're feeling all this turmoil, isn't it good to know, hey, I know what's going on. It's not all crazy. Mm-hmm. Even though part of organizing, according to Marshall Gantz, according to Saul Alinsky, according to what others who follow this, is that you have to look like you're schizoid, because you're not stuck on any values at all. You're just constantly shifting, because you're trying to keep a people off balance until finally you push in what you want. And what I feel like that, you know, second Revelations chapter 2, talking about the church of Thyatira, they say, you know, the Lord's letting us know that whoever's teachings we follow, that's who our Father is. That's our God. That's who we follow. Even with the Pharisees, you know, when he's talking to the Pharisees, he said, you have a father, all right. Your father is Lucifer. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. That's what he told them. That's what Jesus told the religious folks. In other words, they were listening to somebody's teachings, but it wasn't God's. And so, but if you have organizers right now, and not all organizers this way, they're just talking about the ones out of Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, they are following the teachings of Saul Alinsky, which means, and what he says in the Church of Thyatira, he says, therefore you are, because he says this particular spirit, you know, called Jezebel, that was misleading God's people, and you're following her teachings, and she's leading you astray, and those that follow her are her children. That's what he talks about. And so then you can say, understanding that, that those who are following Saul Alinsky's methodologies, who teach them, who is mentored by them, are his children. their children of Saul Alinsky, which means if you have two women that are following Saul Alinsky, then they're sisters. If you have two men that are following Saul Alinsky's teachings and methodologies, then they're brothers. So if you have a woman and a man following their teachings, his teachings, then they're brother and sister. So when I write about them, we talk about this, and I've talked about it, that President Barack Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton are brothers and sisters in the context of that. They both have taught and followed, and we're seeing the fruit of it right now in the world and the nation, Saul Alinsky. You might like Saul Alinsky, so that's a negative thing to some people. But that's whose teachings it's being sure. followed, and it's being followed very intricately. And if you take the time, listen, I've talked it all out, so you can actually just listen to it on your television, your computer, your iPhone. You just need to take the time and listen to it, because they're about to go into something, and if you don't understand it, you're going to be angry. And the goal of this militant action is to get 12,000 warriors for Allah in this jihad called ISIS. They're just trying to get everybody angry. And once you're angry, once you're out of control, it's like rage, raw anger going everywhere. And at that point, you're held captive. You're held captive by the ones that you're angry at. And we're not called to be angry. You don't win when you're angry. You just lose. It's just a moment of you venting, saying things that you regret that may, you know, tornadoes last for 40 seconds, but it takes 40 years to get over them. I mean, even think about all the persecution and all the pain that so many of our African brothers and sisters went through, African American brothers and sisters went through in America. But it wasn't until the revelation of what I'm talking to you about coming through a man of God, who I believe was an apostle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he said, you cannot defeat darkness with darkness. Only light can do that. And you cannot defeat hatred with hatred. Only love can do that. So if you want to win, you can't be angry. You just can't sit there and start pointing at folks and buy into the whole thing, because it's a lot to be angry about if you just go right into it. But they're cutting off our journalists' heads. We think about it, but we told you a word. There was a word, prophetic word given, and the word was given by Shofar Ministries, I believe, and Shofar, it got on the torch, talking about news anchors, to pray for them, because such pressure is going to be coming to them. They're going to be falling out of their seats. Well, I got news for you. Two of them lost their heads in the last couple of days. Tragic. Tragic. But you think about it. If in fact they're only doing that for a job, and I don't think that James Foley at all was doing it for a job. Mm-mm. When you listen to it, you can see it. Here is parents' whole interview on VFNTV, VFNTV.com. This man was called. He wanted to be able to stop the pain and the violence and help people to understand and to empower the people that were being oppressed. But you have to understand, if you're in it just for a paycheck, because they told they'd pay you $100,000 a year if you sit there and read a teleprompter that's corporately approved, that the media that's already gone into the beast, they call it, that digested into the machine that you can repeat over and over again on the... They're going to leave. They're not going to stay there behind that. They're not going to lose their head over it. Some of the reports are that you know, we showed you missiles being set up in Gaza right by schools. We showed you a video of children being gathered around a missile before they fired the missile off in hopes that Israel would come back and retaliate on that, where that missile was launched, and kill those kids so they could walk around and say that Israel's killing children. They brought those children there to die. But the media, who was reportedly in this hotel looking at it, did not turn their cameras that way, because they knew if they turned their cameras that way, then these men would turn their missiles on them. At some point, if you're just in it for a job, you're going to leave. You're going to find some other line of work. As one reporter told us recently, I am tired of speaking empty words. Right? And all you're going to have left is somebody that's willing to lose their head over what they're telling you. That they really believe in what they're saying. That they truly are hearing the truth and telling you what the truth is. The best of their ability to deliver it. And so God is going to begin to raise up men and women who will just tell you the truth. in love, but tell you the truth. You need to begin to hear the truth. These talking heads, they're not going to be there for long, because why would they be there? They're there for the money. They're not there. They're there because they want to survive. They're not going to go out. I mean, granted, I would say, but I didn't hear any reports that I know of, but the CNN anchor.
Jake?
No, not Jake Tapper. But
Wolf Blitzer?
Nope. But the white-haired gentleman, I can't think of his name right now, but he's always, ever since he's been a reporter, he's been out there in the midst of it. He has 640, 460.
AC.
Yes.
AC 360 Cooper.
Cooper.
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper. I mean, he's always gone out there. And these reporters, all these reporters amaze me that go out there.
Mm-hmm.
But do you pan with your camera? Do you turn your camera on everything, or do you just focus it on what you want to make happen? Do they send you with orders, or do you go find out the truth and report it? And I'm excited about the day that the embedded reporters in the church, Christians, begin to rise up and use our own devices to record actually what happens and get them to those who are willing to broadcast it out like VFN TV. I mean, think about it. So these things are going on, this militant action that's going on. You're looking at ISIS is fulfilling that part of the Rules for Radicals, 13 rules, to be able to organize and get your way to be able to do something. You first have to organize, polarize, to be able to organize. Look at the Middle East, totally polarized, and what are they doing right now? This is what the president said, and you can hear more about it in our previous program. He said it's time for us now to organize the Arab nations. Mm. It's time to organize. That means all that death, all that mayhem, all that beheading, all that destruction, all that horrificness potentially could have been caused because somebody's using these organizing tactics because they got an agenda, what they want to do to the Middle East. All of men's plans cannot succeed against the wisdom of God. Think about it. So many people fret when they start seeing men conspire and plan. You think about it, that's exactly what the disciples said when they got arrested for preaching the gospel right after the birth of the church. He says, why do kings conspire and plan against you, God? But quite often we're sort of like Israel was, and we start thinking about, or like Samuel was when Israel was turning against God, we start taking it personal and thinking, they're planning against me. It's like, no, that's not us, it's God. When people conspire and plan against the things of God, the people of God and the ways of God, their issue is between them and God. Their battle is with God. Our job is to be like the disciples, to say, crank it up a notch. Help us continue to do what we were doing and be faithful. Do you think about this? You think, and so there's a lot going on. We have, and that's the whole purpose of these methodologies of these organizers and people that use those kind of evil tactics to be able to organize folks. You have to get them angry. I mean, think about different marches that's happened. How long did they really last? And every march that people do that's done in peace, and people they plant like grass seed before they leave. They pick up the trash. They say, I love you, and all this kind of stuff. They don't even talk about those. They only talk about the ones that are militant. And so in those tactics, it says you have to use, you know, militant things that will cause things to happen. People that are moving through manipulation. Christians are not supposed to do that. And so when you look at that, then you think, well, I don't need to be angry. I don't need to be angry. And to be truthful, before God started speaking to me and helping me out, I was getting angrier and angrier. Because you're just shocked. You're shocked of people that you know they're intelligent, but yet they're making very, very unintelligent decisions, very selfish decisions. I'm thinking so far in the future, at least 2 inches in the future here.
Mm.
You know, and these major decisions that was costing major, and then you start to realize this is what it looks like when a nation's being turned over. This is when you read about Israel being turned over, and you're wondering how in the world could that have happened? Or you hear the enemy, of Israel, and you think they turned in on themselves, and Gideon just kind of sat and watched it because God was doing it. You're seeing what happens. They don't do that because they go, we're going to turn it on ourselves. God puts something on a people that causes their brains to shut down. That all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're going to be stupid for the next 24 months, and it's going to bring great tragedy. I mean, these are smart, intelligent people. God can cause it where we can't even tie our shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at a time like, God, we want their minds to be cleared up. He says, okay, then clear up your sin, you know, clear up your life. So the answer is not us getting angry. It makes me think about, you know, rage. Think about rage, R-A-G-E, rage. Those letters stand for raw anger going everywhere. This is what Satan wants and his captives want. They want you to be angry. And as we're talking to believers here, we're just talking to Christians. They want you to be angry. And what happens is the second you're angry, you lose your ability to follow the Lord. At that point, you're following your anger. You're following, as a matter of fact, when you think about it, you know, what anger is that you're hurt. You think somebody's done you wrong and you think you need to let them know about it. And if they don't respond to you, now they control you. Whoever you're angry with controls you. I mean, you think about it. They owe me. They owe us better leadership. They owe me a raise. They owe me health care. They owe us border security. They owe Israel more things. They owe us go take out those 12,000 ISIS. They owe us this. They owe us that. And you think about this. Then you go, they owe me. They owe me. They owe me. They own me. They own me. They own me. If you get angry with folks who are trying to get you angry, once you're angry, all of a sudden you're no longer in control of your life anymore. At that point, you are being led like a ring in your nose by the ones or the ones you're angry with. We don't have any reason to be angry. We actually have a God who's in control. We need to check ourselves and find out what's going on. What did we do like King Josiah did? You got to hear our earlier program. He realized he got in the Word of God. 81% of Christians in America who go to the church at least twice a week, I believe, according to George Barna, don't even pick up their Bible. So why would you be upset about what they're doing in Washington, D.C. when you haven't even found out what you're doing yet? You got to get in the Word of God. And what the Word of God says, he says, listen, in James chapter 1, verse 20, he says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. There's no anger that you're going to have in your own flesh. It's going to produce something that all of a sudden some great, you know, utopia bursts out because you got angry. The truth is, it may take 40 years to recoup from what you did. Understand, this is all happening for a reason. Like I mentioned earlier, I mean, Dr. King, here is this man, I believe an apostle from the Lord. He is a Christian man. He is a citizen of America, and he didn't violate the Constitution, and he didn't violate the Lord and his word, and he walked faithfully in between those two and just said, you know what? We're going to live up to the standards of our Constitution. We're going to live up. And he did not do anything unjust. And look what happened. It was beautiful what this man demonstrated as a Christian American. And we need to imitate those that have gone before us, because that's the uniqueness about Dr. King, is that he's an American Christian. So as Christian Americans, we need to look at his life. And we have a book, or we don't have a book that came out, but Dr. Avita King just published a book. You've got to get this book. It's called King Rules. You need to read it. I mean, they go all the way back tracing the genealogy of Dr. King. But understand, in this book, King Rules, that it covers, there, you had to have rules that you had to follow to be able to walk with Dr. King. And his rules were basically, you act like a Christian, you walk like a Christian, you better be a Christian. Mm. You better spend time with God. You better treat people well. Mm-hmm. You better write down your next of kin, because you might not make it through this, but you're laying down your life for what we're doing. And it was just powerful. You know, it's just like walking with Jesus when you think that's what you had to do. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, listen, it's going to cost you everything. But if you'll lay down everything, you'll receive 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. But you first have to lay it down. So being angry, Dr. King understood what the Lord is saying here, and he understood America, that because of our Constitution, because of how God has laid this out, it's a country that we can actually move in the context of love and obedience to the Constitution, obedience to God, and there could be a breakthrough, a huge breakthrough, and we could still have our nation. But we have to be able to do it in love. We have to truly, and that's not saying you love someone, you actually do, because you do love them. Here is Dr. King, and we have a segment on the VFN Torch where his sister-in-law, I believe, her sister, is telling about a story when she happened to be at his house, and he came home, and he didn't know she was there. And he's leaning over the fireplace, you know, he's just kind of catching his breath, and he's got those thin ties they wore back then with a white shirt on. And he's loosening his tie up. And he goes, they almost choked me to death. They almost choked me to death. Mm-hmm. And you can see this. You can see, hear her tell the story. It's powerful. And his response wasn't to go out and to hate. Mm-mm. His response was to continue to love. That's the only way you can defeat hate is not with hate. You defeat it with love. That's what God did. Think about it. God holding everything together. He chose to love. That's how he showed himself. And he allowed the haters to nail him to the cross. And that love produced salvation for everyone that wants to follow him. We're known by our love for each other. I mean, you think about this. In Psalms 37:8, he says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. Don't worry. It leads only to evil. This whole strategy, this organizing thing going on, they want people to get so angry that all of a sudden they come in and says, listen, we will just come. We'll, you know, you just can't handle yourself. You know, we will come in and just put a whole new system in here, a whole new everything, whatever. Just more freedoms, more freedoms, more captivity. More freedoms taken away, more captivity given. And so he says, even in Proverbs 14:16, he says, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed. And in his hot-headedness, he feels secure. I mean, these people, they're confident, like, that's rage. That's not going to accomplish anything. Uh-huh. And besides, if we're all sinners and we all fall short, how can you be that angry at anybody? Couldn't God be that angry at you? Aren't we objects of God's wrath? Are we the ones supposed to execute God's wrath on someone? That's ISIS. That's what they're doing, mm-hmm. not what Christians are doing. We're going to continue to talk about this after the break, but the reason why we're going to talk about is that there's a reason why you may be getting angry. There's a reason why you're feeling that, but we need there's another emotion that happens first, and we got to talk about that before anger shows up. And if we can deal with the root of this thing and begin to turn back to what, like Josiah did, to God's way of doing things and follow the teachings of Jesus, you know, we can come through this greater than ever before, potentially a third great awakening. So you're looking at, I mean, think about this when he says, you pull it down. He said, it's like shards of glass cutting at my mind. To be able to see what's taking place, to be able to see what's taking place in the world right now, if you have any compassion whatsoever, if you see the beheadings, if you see the children being shot in their head and killed because they refuse to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ, if you see thousands of missiles being fired over into Israel who did nothing wrong, when you see the mixed, twisted broadcast, and you see children being given over to darkness in our society, and $1 billion worth of murdering games being sold a couple days after a man walks through the Navy base in Washington, D.C., shooting up human beings, we should be saying the same thing. It's like tiny shards of glass cutting at my mind. But it's amazing how hard some folks have gotten. That all of this pain, that we do not sound like this man who just began to describe it. With that kind of pain, you know, he says, I'm tired of feeling alone. I'm tired of feeling like a sparrow in the rain. I'm tired of being alone, having no one to be able to tell me where to go, what's going on. Who's out there telling? Who's telling people the truth? And we're all going to face God. That's what that actor was saying. He's gonna, you know, when I face God for my decision, I'm going to tell him it's my job. Hmm. It was my job. That's the reason why I didn't respond. Think about it. What do? We cannot be angry. This man had experienced so much injustice. Yeah, he said, you know what? I'm just tired of it. Maybe that's you, and you're like just... You know, you're wanting to shut down. You're thinking, am I going to get angry about all this? Or I'm going to say, you know, I don't even want to live anymore. We're saying, go on without me. I don't want to live. I just end my life right here. And that's what he was saying. He said, just take me out. And what do you say to God? He says, just tell him you did me a favor. You did a good thing. Well, that's copping out. That's leaving everybody with the boat. That's not standing and fighting the good fight of faith. We're called. Listen, we just been in America so long, we don't understand that we've been walking in a huge, blessed land for a long time. And it's going to take a while for us to be able to grasp this because we're understanding it more and more as we lose it. But it's not for us to get angry. It's for us to take ownership of our own lives and realize that we didn't even pick up our Bibles. We didn't even think it was worthwhile to gather as the days grow closer together with the fellow church members. We didn't even think it was worthwhile. We have to remove the atheist that's over that church. I mean, they have atheist pastors. They're not even pastors, but they're on ABC News going, I'm an atheist, but I can't think of another trade. And they're over like 1,000 folks. I mean, think about that. It's us. We the people that we've got to rise up. You're going to be held accountable alone before God for what you did. And just copying out, just saying, I don't even want to go on anymore. Maybe you're medicating yourself with some drug or entertainment. That's the biggest medication. Or some digital game or something. You're just like, I don't care. I don't want to go on anymore. You're just looking for a place to sleep. That's not what we're called to do. And if your only other response is anger, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to love. We're called to love. He says, whoever is patient has great understandings in Proverbs 14:29. In other words, patience is enduring these hardships and all these things happening without complaining. You know, let's just work our way through this thing. You know, God's allowing something for a season. Something's going on. He said, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Being just quick-tempered. And it's amazing, you know, how many people, you know, you're just are constantly like, really? You know, how could we hold people to righteous standards that we ourselves don't meet? One of the rules for radicals is make them live up to their own rules. Make them live up to their own rules. So if you go out there and start telling people that you're righteous and they're wrong, they're going to turn the word of God on you. They're going to say, hey, Christian, why don't you live up to all these rules? And then you have to be faced with the reality is no one has been able to ever live up to those rules. And you should have said that to begin with, instead of trying to lay the rules, the word and the commands of God on unsaved folks who are not even going to follow that. And you yourselves are not even following it. It's to turn back to God and say, you know what, dear God, well, I don't know what I was doing. Because this is what the world says. The rule says this, make them live up to their own rule book. No, they will not be able to do that. And guess what? This is Lucifer's tactic. Make the Christian live up to all the commandments until they finally fall in the snow and try to make their body stop sinning and they realize it's for by grace are we saved. But if when you're telling society that they need to act within the context of the commands of God and you're not even preaching to them the love of God and the grace of God, they're thinking that you actually are a perfect person, that you are a sinless human being and that you walk on water or something. So now they're looking for the areas of you violate the commands of God. And so one of the tactics and rules for radicals written by Saul Alinsky, taught by our president when he wasn't the president for 4 years, a paper written on a college thesis by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says, make them live up to their own rule book. And we have a sin nature. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. Does it turn out good? And anger, that's what anger does. Anger says, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and y'all need to change this. And it's like, ooh, that's not going to end good because we're not God. That's just going to turn in on us. They say, okay, if I'm going to do this, then you're going to have to do those 10 things. And you may even try it out of a religious spirit. But when you go home, you know, outside the grace of God, the only thing that differentiates you from them and you is Him. God is able to keep us and make us stand. We need to be preaching the love of God, the grace of God. So we don't want to shut down either and go like, it's like tiny shards of glass and I can't take it anymore. I just want to shut down. I want to go to sleep. I want to medicate myself. I want to just go watch movies. I want to go just lose myself in my job. Most of Americans have done, instead of saying, you know, I'm going to get on the front lines and I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to be like Dr. King. Not that we can achieve that, but at least we could follow his example. And Dr. Avita King, Pastor Avita King wrote a book called King's Rules, just came out. Perfect time for us to learn how to be able to walk in those principles. And this has the genealogy of the King family going back. It's amazing how this family came about. When you're talking about royalty, it's the genealogy right here in the cover of the book. You want to find out the whole family of Dr. King? We talk about royalty, royalty, royalty. These are amazing. This is an amazing thing that God do through this lineage. I mean, everybody in David's family wasn't perfect, but David wasn't perfect himself, but God used David in a powerful way. Therefore, we say this is royalty in Israel. Well, I really believe this, that he was an apostle. He was called by God and led an example for us, and Avita King is carrying that on today. We're talking about anger because I just really feel in my spirit that we got to prepare ourselves not to be angry. And if we do get angry, we have to begin to know how to handle it. And I'm going to talk about at the end of this segment about, you know, the process of things and how you can deal with it quickly. And if you are alone, you're angry. I mean, if you are alone, if you don't have anybody in your life, you need to get with a body of believers that knows you're angry. You know what I'm saying? You need people around you to go, what's up with you? If not, you're going to be walking around in constant anger. I mean, you're going to be, no, tell them what you're in if you're alone. It's not good for you to be alone. You need to get connected to, I mean, not, and then being in a crowd. You can be in a crowd and be in deep sin, right? I'm talking about being with people that know you. You know, you have a dinner together, you eat together, that talking about that. They care about you, and you care about them. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of a fool. So you shouldn't be easily provoked. Nobody should push your buttons. If you got somebody that pushes your buttons, they control you. If all they have to do is say one thing, you're like, you drive off with your spouse going, blah, 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 blah. Dude, that's ridiculous. Your boss just said one thing and now you're angry with him the whole time. Your father said something and now you're angry all the time. Your mama said something. It's like something's inside of you that got touched. You need to get rid of. It's in your lap. And understand they are trying to provoke you. And there's a segment. You gotta hear the segment. Don't swing. Don't swing. That's the whole technique, is to get you angry, to get you to act out. And believe me, there's a lot of force waiting for people to lash out and do the wrong thing. Don't do the wrong thing. Do the right thing. Do the God thing. I mean, Galatians 5:19 through 20 talks about the acts of our body, our flesh, are obvious. And one of those are fits of rage. Raw anger going everywhere. That is actually a sinful act, to be, you know, filled with rage. You know, some good things happen when people are in rage, and people actually lift those folks up thinking they're a hero when they've actually misled them, and they're going to stand before the throne of God going, that was all sin. It was all sin. You should have done it for a righteous reason and not a wrong reason. And understanding in Ephesians 4:26, you know, anger in itself is not wrong if you deal with it properly. I mean, you're going to experience that. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath when you're angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. And that's what's going on. And I tell you, the sun's gone down quite a few times on a lot of angry Americans right now. The sun's gone down quite a bit on a lot of angry Christians. And we've got to say, wait a minute. If I do that, the devil's going to have a foothold in my life. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you get angry, you're going to have a ring in your nose, and you're going to be led around. You're going to have a foothold. The devil's going to have a place inside of you. And so for self-preservation alone, deal with your anger. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you must also rid yourself of all these things, such as anger and rage. We have to get rid of it. And understand, passive-aggressive rage is rage, just because you're not loud outside, but inside you just keep pushing folks with your behaviors and your attitudes and your eyebrows and your unctions, but not narrow word comes out, but yet the same spirit's there. It's the same thing. But he tells us this. He says, clothe yourself in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another as if you've been forgiven. Deal with people's grievances kindly. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And we have to understand that America is going through what it's going through right now because God's people have gone astray. But we're going to be coming back. If we do like Josiah and finally understand the words of Jesus, and this is what Jesus said. Forget about if you just listen to what Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount. On Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 through 12, he goes, blessed are the pure in heart. In other words, you can't be walking around with anger in your heart and rage in your heart. You'll be blessed when you do. And you say, I'm not going to be a part of that. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God, sons of God. Think about it. So when you're focused on peace and not anger, when they're trying to stir all this rage and this anger up and organize this militant movement and all these things going on, our response as sons and daughters of God is just to be peaceful, is to be kind, peacemakers. He says, blessed are you when people persecute you because of righteousness. In other words, you're doing the right thing and they're persecuting you, for yours is the kingdom of God. Then he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of Jesus, because of me, he said. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. In other words, this ain't nothing new. This happened since everybody that stood up for God. And Jesus said, they hated me and I did nothing wrong to them. And so it's not something you've done. It's just an Alinsky tactic. It's a Lucifer tactic. It's just things trying to happen out there. And then in Matthew 4:43-46, Jesus says, you have heard it said of this, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be called sons of your Father in heaven. See, Dr. King understood that only you cannot run hate out of your life and out of your family, out of your nation with hate. Only love can do that. You know, you cannot use dark tactics to be able to run darkness out of your nation. Only light can do that. When we get hurt, when somebody hurts us, when somebody does us wrong, and there's a lot of wrong being done right now in the world and in America, we have to acknowledge that hurt. If not, it grows immediately into a stem. Imagine a plant, a seed gets planted, and then it grows a little stem up. And that stem in itself, if you don't deal with it in the hurt stage, that's a stem of anger. Hurt, anger. And if you don't do anything with that, it grows into the leaves of bitterness. And finally, it produces the fruit of unforgiveness. And now you're held captive by your own unwillingness to forgive someone. And you walk around, you talk about it all the time. And the truth is, you are hurt. And you need to forgive. You don't need to be angry. And if we are angry, we're supposed to be angry and don't sin. And if we don't want the devil to have a foothold on America, as the church, our part can be, it's just like Dr. King did. We march in love. We walk in love. We act in love. We forgive. Even when he was almost choked by his own tie, he didn't say, let's get angry. Let's go out and create a mob. Let's do this. He said, we just got to continue to love. The only thing that's going to defeat this is love. It's an amazing thing, but he is a unique example, a Christian American. Somebody is a Christian Chinese, they can't tell us how to be an American. They don't have the constitution that we have. They don't have the lineage that we have in America. That's what's so unique about Dr. King. And we're going to make related segments available to you during this week that we're focusing on the 13th anniversary of 9/11, understanding we've got to wake up. There's so many things trying to provoke us, trying to get us angry, trying to hurt us. And they're probably wondering, it's amazing, you know, how this hasn't happened yet. Right. But they did find out in Saudi Arabia. They couldn't organize in Saudi Arabia because they're so wealthy. The government just cuts a check to everybody and they buy a big screen television, they said.
Wow.
And that's what America's about until she's not wealthy anymore, until there's an economic crash. And immediately you'll start seeing anger. Our job is to love. He says, love each other. A new commandment I give you. Love each other. By this, they will know that you are my disciples. If you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, he says, you're a liar. God is love. He said, you can't even love me if you don't love your brother. We got to begin to say, dear Lord, help us to love. Help us to be patient and kind and gentle and long-suffering and not keep records of wrong. Help us to be an example, Father God, of light in these dark times. Don't be angry. Love. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.